Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life podcast. It is lottery night, and the Seas are also onto the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm Topher Lane, here with Mark Allison. Only two teams have ever taken the best record in their conference and come away with the number one pick. The last team to do it was the Lakers in the early 80s. Let's jump right into it. We'll start off with the lottery. Mark and I are both watching as it's going on right now on Tuesday night. We're going to have kind of our own reactions as we kind of find out the results during the course of it. Mark, how's it going right now?
Good, man. So it's, we timed this perfectly. Like, it just came on, like, right when we started this. And I mean, that's kind of what we tried to do, but it's funny how it actually happened that way.
Yeah, so we're going to have that going on. We're going to have, like, our own reactions. We're going to try and kind of give some insight as to what it means, depending on where we fall and where other teams fall, as best we can. Obviously, we have our own lens on the Celtics, but, you know, I think we know basketball pretty well, more or less.
Yeah, man. Right? Man.
Kind of.
For sure.
Well, so we'll kind of hit the storylines right now. Mike Grosbeck is going to be the guy sitting for the Celtics. It was Isaiah last year, but since obviously he's got some bigger stuff going on, because we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's go. It's great. It's all you could need.
Yeah, that's pretty wild that we can walk away with the first pick and, shout out LeBron that starts tomorrow.
25% chance to take home the number one pick based on the ping pong balls.
Yeah, but what's the odds of us getting top four? 35, right? So,
yeah, guaranteed top four. And I did two. I was playing around on ESPN's like lottery thing where it randomizes. And I did it four times. And all four times we got the fourth pick. And I was like, no, stop that.
That's already sunk in my head that that's what's going to happen because we always get screwed.
Yeah.
If we get a top two, I would be shocked. But
yeah,
I mean, last year I think it went didn't it go clean straight through last year for the first time in a long time? Where you know they all got the picks that they were supposed to get. It was either last year or the year before. I can't remember. Philly was involved, of course.
Because they've just been miserable for the last 6 years or something.
So another hopeful development is I'm hopeful that the Lakers get burned, and if they drop out of the, what is it, the top three or the top four?
Yes, their pick, which is conditional to the Sixers, is top three protected.
Three, that's what I am.
So if they draw four, literally they're just going to hand it to Philly as it happens. And then Philadelphia's going to know that they got four and also a top three pick in addition to that, wherever theirs falls. So that's stupid. That's insane.
That's crazy. And it's not like I want Philly to get another pick either because they don't really deserve it in any way, shape, or form. But I guess I'd rather see them get it than the Lakers.
On one hand, was it Sam Hinkie who did all this stuff? Like the insanity of the process and stuff?
And then they canned him after all his hard work paid off.
I know. Now they need to bring him back because clearly he did a good job.
Yeah, they're going to be a pretty tough team next year. I mean, if everybody stays healthy, and that yet remains to be seen. But
yeah, because they have two Rookie of the Year candidates in Joel Embiid, if you believe that 32 games is enough to say Rookie of the Year. And then Dario Saric, who was also pretty nasty.
Right. Rookie of the Year candidate, anyways. He was even in the mix.
Combined with Ben Simmons coming for his rookie year, I guess. And Jahlil Okafor. That's a solid young starting lineup.
Yeah.
And they've got cash to throw around
for. They get another guy here, too.
Yeah.
End up getting one of those picks, I mean, they're going to end up with a top, five guy, anyways, something like that, if the Lakers get burned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's kind of jump quickly to the landscape of playoffs. Game 7 was Monday night. It was awesome. There's no other way to describe it, I feel like. It was heroic. Kelly Olynyk was a hero.
I mean, who would have thought that someday we would be referring to a game seven in the playoffs as the Kelly Olynyk game? Like, we will always remember that game as the Kelly Olynyk game.
What a stud.
Unbelievable. That was just nuts. And dude, in the fourth, when he just kept taking it to the basket, and he was like bewildered that like the ball was like going in and he was like getting by people. Like, I mean, he was looking over at the bench, like shaking his head, like, what the hell?
Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes you just like the ball just always rolls your way.
And it certainly helped that the Wizards had nobody to defend him. I mean, Mahaney, Gortat, all those guys were all awful. I mean, awful. And I did the Green Envy this morning, and I was reading the game day threads and listening to those Wizards fans just trash all of their big guys. I mean, it started right when the game started too, so it was only fitting that Olynyk, you know, put the dagger in them at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. What did he have? 14 in the fourth quarter.
14 in the fourth, 26 overall, and he shot like to 10 of 13 or something like that.
Like 6 of 7 in the fourth.
Yeah,
it's like insane.
I think he hit every shot he took in the fourth, didn't he? I don't know. Maybe it was 6 or 7.
I feel like he missed one that was like a wide open layup, and it's like, of course, that's the one that you miss. Everything else is like relatively contested, or it's like a deep three, and then you finally get away and you got an easy layup and you bank it off the rim. Yeah, no, they. I don't know if I like. It's like Isaiah was bottled up pretty well. I felt like, I mean, he still had like a good Isaiah game, 29.
Yeah, I mean, he came through at the end though. I mean, they bottled him up real good. He wasn't shooting well in the first half, but he still ended up with 29 and how many assists did he have yesterday? Like 12 something. He had double digits at least.
Yep, 12.
Yep. I mean, and that guy's, you know, incredible too. The way he came back and played in the second half was just totally overlooked though, because of Olynyk, obviously, was the story of the night. But how about us? John Wall just falling off a cliff in the second half yesterday.
Well, I mean, I was watching it at Buffalo Wild Wings, so I was like, I was focused, but I wasn't as like immersed in the game as I normally am when I'm at home and I'm like really like analyzing everything. Was it just like really good defense, or was it that he just could not?
He looked like he was out of gas. I mean, they were throwing, you know, a lot of different stuff at him, but at the same time, it was, he was just settling for deep jumpers. He's not a great outside shooter. I mean, he can get hot, but
he was in the first round.
Right.
I did the preview of the series, and he was shooting like 50 something percent from outside against the Hawks.
I did a comparison today on the blog, and this series versus his Atlanta series. I mean, his Atlanta series, he looked like an MVP candidate, and in this series, although he was still scoring, and he's scoring like 25 a game, still averaging probably close to 10 assists, and but his percentages were like through, like he was shooting 38% and 28% from three this whole series. So a lot of that was volume stuff. I mean, he was taking more shots than he took in the first round. He was shooting 20, taking 20 attempts a game versus 23 in this series, and he was shooting much less effective.
Well, Scott Brooks was going straight at Isaiah. You know, right. his, it seemed like his offensive scheme was to just whoever Isaiah was defending was who he was going to give the ball to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if, I mean, obviously the Wizards have elite scorers in their backcourt, in Otto Porter, John Wall, Bradley Beal. All of them should be able to outplay Isaiah Thomas as a defender.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if they were outside their element, like Otto Porter was told to post him up or something. And that worked more or less, but at the same time, it just seemed to like throw a wrench into their offense.
Yeah, I mean, when they were at their best, they took advantage of Isaiah a ton. But when they were at their best, it was when they were running, you know, running in transition and playing that game. And
forcing turnovers.
Yeah, and maybe you're right. Maybe they focused a little too much on the mismatch instead of, the attacking the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Bradley Beal did have a good game seven.
Yeah, I mean, he had a terrific series.
Especially in the fourth quarter, Bradley Beal was like seriously keeping the Wizards in it.
Right. He had 38. I think he had 12 in the fourth, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, he was keeping them alive. And then, you know, they ended up losing by 10. But, definitely he was the guy, and someone had posted a funny meme of I can't even remember what movie it's from, but with the locker scene, and he slams a locker, and it was like he's staring at him. It was someone put Bradley Beal's face on the one guy staring at the other guy, like, where were you, bro? And then John Wall.
Top three and pick a guy like Markel.
Yeah, it was. So, like I said, I was at Buffalo Wild Wings, so I was watching on there, and I was really excited because there were a couple Boston fans there too. I couldn't see them; they were like on the other side of like one of those weird walls that have TVs on them. But I just heard them cheering every time Kelly did something, and so I was like kind of like bonding with those guys from across a wall. It was a great time, and I was so excited about the offense and like doing our drinking game, which ended up being really expensive because Smart was doing well, and
it was a big night.
Flexed.
It was a big night for our drinking game. We got a Jaeger bomb in there, a Jaeger bomb, and a few smart shots. It was electric.
And the alley oop, Al Horford, Admiral Nelson. Yeah.
Yep.
I was getting some weird looks from our waitress.
Hell of a night.
Ordering all these strange. It's like, can I get a Jaeger bomb? She's like, what? Like Jaeger bomb. Jaeger bomb.
You guys have Admiral Nelson?
I did ask her that, and she was not pleased.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's not cheap to get that at a bar, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so other kind of stuff going on. Golden State is up 1-0. They're going to play game two tonight. It's Tuesday night. And they won game one after Zaza Pachulia closed out on Kawhi and took him down. People thought it was dirty. Greg Popovich seemingly thought it was pretty dirty. Kawhi claims that he didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary, but... What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, it didn't look that bad. I understand, you know, Pachulia is kind of known for, you know, some discretions like that. So it looks bad. I it's hard to judge. You know, I mean, this happened with Horford a couple weeks ago, and everybody was, you know, up in arms about that. I mean, I feel like when you're closing out on guys like that, that's going to happen from time to time. I don't know. I guess if there's a way, Popovich was talking about it, like saying how even if there's no intent, you know, have you ever heard of manslaughter and whatnot? And that makes a little bit of sense. But at the same time, it's I don't know. How do you punish for that? I mean, I guess you could give someone a flagrant one for doing something like that. Maybe that would keep it on people's minds that's not. You know, you don't want that to happen.
Well, if it was intentional, my guess is the NBA would suspend him. If, like, they could prove that there was intent.
Right. And
I don't think there's any way of doing, but...
Right.
Still.
Well, there's... I don't know, because back when Bruce Bowen was around, he did it intentionally often enough, and it looked pretty damn intentional when he did it. I just didn't think that Pachulia's looked all that menacing, you know?
Yeah. No, I kind of agree, but... Everyone was harping back to his resume, you know, that he with Dallas, that he was always pretty dirty against the Spurs. And I'm not sure if it just could like in-state bad blood or what it was, because I don't think anybody really cared about him when he was with, you know, Milwaukee. I don't think anybody was criticizing how he played when he was a Buck. But apparently with the maybe it's Rick Carlisle, like, brings out the dirty player in people. I don't know what it is, but
When he was with Atlanta, he had a lot of issues with this too. Remember battling them in the playoffs back in the day with Garnett, and they used to get into it quite a bit.
Man, that was a young Zaza.
Yeah, I mean, and so that was a while ago. But he, you know, he got in his fair share of scuffles back then. So
yeah, that's what Greg Popovich kept going back to. He's like, well, if you remember, he broke Kawhi's arm, and you know, he took an elbow to his now teammate David West, and like all this stuff happened.
Right.
So clearly this was intentional because he's been intentional about all these other things. So he went off. Greg Popovich, he was pissed.
Pretty amped up.
Yeah. But so it was, you know, I wouldn't say that it was dirty, but the Spurs were up 25 in the third quarter. Kawhi goes down, they lose the game. So I think that also contributes to it. If they had won, I don't think people would have cared as much. I mean, obviously Kawhi going down really, really hurts the team, but I don't think people would have been nearly as skeptical about the play had the Spurs won.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, maybe if Kawhi does end up missing a couple games, people would still be pretty pissed. But yeah, I agree. It wouldn't have been as big of a deal.
Yeah, it's tough to say, but it was. They play game two tonight, Tuesday night. Listeners probably will have already seen the result of that. So, you know, don't spoil. I don't know what to say. Don't spoil it for us. I
guess. Yeah.
we'll it's not our series. We're a Celtics blog, so it doesn't make a difference to us. But yeah, it's a good series. That's who we're gonna play in the championship. You know, after we dispatch the Cavs in five.
Yeah, we're gonna get the Spurs, not the Warriors. We want the Spurs to win.
Spurs.
Although I don't know if I like that matchup, but Spurs in five. I certainly don't like the Warriors.
Celtics in five. What's the?
Yeah.
What's your? I guess. What's your breakdown of the series? What do you think is gonna happen?
Cavs series.
Both.
Well, if the Spurs don't have Kawhi, I just don't see. They were talking about maybe he could be back for Game Three. If he's back, even if he's not 100%, I don't know. I if they won more than one game, I'd be shocked. If he was healthy, I think they could have made an interesting series. But the not so sure. If he can't go, then I don't think so. But
do you think they take one, the Spurs?
I think they could take – well, without Kawhi, I don't think they could take a game. If they have Kawhi and he's somewhere near, you know, I think they can get a game. But – if he's fully healthy, you know, maybe they can win a couple of games, but I don't see them competing without him. What do you think?
They did well against Houston. I mean, I know that game six that James Harden just completely disappeared, and or was did they go to seven, six or seven? Pretty sure it was six, but
yeah, it was.
They played without Kawhi for games five and game six, or the last two games of the series. And they played well, and they closed out the series without Kawhi. So, obviously the Rockets are a different beast than the Warriors, and the Warriors are a better team in like almost every capacity. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they're able to squeeze one without Kawhi tonight. But it's tough to say. It's obviously hard to predict. And
so how about they're walking? They're coming in. Are you watching this right now?
With like the numbers and stuff.
With like the pile of whatever it was. Now they already have it decided, right? They're just in envelopes, right? That's what they just came out with, right?
Yeah, everything's already been done in the back. So like, there's a handful of people who know what happened. Like, I'm pretty sure last year they have everyone like lock their phones in a safe,
who's in the back room,
because they all have seen the results. But they want to make tons of money from us watching it and stuff. So, like, nobody's allowed to say anything. So all their stuff is locked away.
Oh, so all the people that are on that panel have already seen the results.
Yeah.
Like the what's it called? Representatives?
Oh, no, I don't know if the representatives have.
Oh, I was going to say. Because
just the people in the back. Yeah, no, the people, Magic the representatives Johnson. Here as it happens. But
yeah,
people
Magic
in the back.
Johnson all would never be able to consent.
Yeah, Magic Johnson would already be flipping out.
He would one way or the other. You'd already know. I mean, there's no way that guy can control excitement. He'd have a smile from ear to ear.
Yeah, but so they the people in the back, they showed him like with like the little roller thing that has little ping pong balls. It looks like a lottery kind of deal.
Yeah,
which I guess makes sense because it is the NBA lottery, but it looks like Powerball kind of deal.
Yeah, so the numbers come out, and I didn't realize this is how it worked, but the numbers come out, and it's a combination that. That gives your team, so they pull out however many balls it is, eight balls, whatever it is. And then whatever combination of numbers that comes out, that decides who the winner is.
Yes.
And there's so many different combinations that put this team at this percentage and this at this percentage. So pretty wild. I didn't realize it was like that until I read an article about it today.
It still really confuses me because I don't understand how, because you get like more ping pong balls. If you have a worse record, right? Because you have a better chance of the number one pick. Is that, am I completely?
Well no, see, that's what I thought that it was. But from what I understand, they have these balls in there, and they're not, the balls are not necessarily tied to any team, the ones that are in there. What they do is they pull out numbers, right? Just like they're pulling out the lottery, right?
Sure.
And then the order of the numbers, it makes, you know, whatever. That's the combination that they go by. And there's, it's mathematically set up so that the different combinations of numbers are favor certain teams, and that's how it works. That's what I, at least that's what I understood, and I could be wrong. So if anybody is listening to this and I'm an idiot and don't know what I'm talking about, you can get at us at
hashtag Celtics Light Pod.
And tell us about it. But
that's
what I understood when I read it today, because I always thought different teams had different numbers of balls in there, because that's the way we always talk about it, the number of ping pong balls. But I don't think that's actually correct.
Well, now I'm trying to figure it out, because
it's some kind of mathematical equation that the combination of numbers that come out sets the order. I don't know. That's what I've read.
So, yeah, so you get 250 combinations.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you the number one pick. Does it go reverse? So do they start with the number one pick?
And well, then, no. So what happens is the combination that comes out, right? They read that. That doesn't set the picks. That sets the entire order.
Oh.
The more I talk about this, the more I sound like I'm wrong. But that's what I understood earlier today. Oh, and here they are at the podium.
Okay. Mark Tatum, show us how it's done.
Heat, nowhere. They're going to go down to four, right?
And I have.
We're going with the top four here. So we could get screwed and be the fourth pick here and go into this. Nuggets at 13. So
I'm a little bit ahead of you with my stream.
Oh, are you? Okay, that's fine. You can tell me at the time. But so essentially, we will find out.
Yeah, because then
got burned, and we end up with that fourth pick. Yeah,
they go to the commercial break. Well, mm-hmm. you know, if LA is the one who's really sweating right now,
right? Yeah,
they go to the commercial break, and then they bring the three teams together, like the three reps together, to all stand around the podium.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so nothing crazy out of the ordinary. Now, Knicks got 8. They had like a 5% chance to get.
Oh, wow, you're way ahead of me. I'm still on 10.
I know. It's weird. Normally, I'm the one behind. And Joel Embiid loves it. I don't know why. He's just really, he's just pumped. He looks like he might be drunk, maybe. Timberwolves with 7.
Well, Frazier, he already picked on your screen. So none of these guys have moved up, right?
I don't think so. Does Sacramento have 2 picks?
It said Sacramento moved into the top 3. So that's bad news for us.
So they keep their pick if it's the top 10?
Okay. I think
Sacramento does have 2 picks. They've got 5 and 10.
Sacramento had 2 picks because of the Cousins trade, no?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, that's true, because they traded. Yeah,
I really don't want the fourth pick.
Yeah. All right, fourth pick. Here you go.
Please, not us.
Do you mean to wait until you get there so you can react?
No, you can tell me. It's us, isn't it?
I don't know. He's about to draw it. It's the Phoenix Suns. So the Lakers hold on to their pick for sure.
Yeah.
And we're guaranteed top 3. And Magic Johnson is so pumped.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, there you go. He's just nodding, right?
Not very happy. They didn't need another first round pick anyways.
Do I need to like pause this and wait till... Because I feel like we need to watch this together as like a joint that... We got a commercial break for a while, but...
Let's see. Well, I'm going to refresh it and see.
Okay.
Maybe I'll catch up if I refresh it. Yeah, Magic is pumped. He's just doing the dance now, so I'm way behind you.
I'm like going into my commercial break. For our listeners, in case you're enjoying our weird viewing experience, we're both pretty nervous, or at least I am, because I just don't want to... I mean, I'm glad we're not 4, you know? Because at least we've got... Well, wait, okay, so who are your top 4 picks? This is actually I'm really interested in this.
All right, so I'm Fultz, by far, first pick. No, there's no question. I suppose Lonzo Ball would be my second pick, although in that situation, I would trade the pick. If
we got 2?
My third pick, so which would be, I mean, I would take Tatum at 3.
Okay. That's fair. I want Markelle Fultz.
I do. Me too. And if we get the first pick, that's my first choice, and I would like to keep him. Because I think that having him, that would mean that we'd have him and Jalen locked up for 3-4 years apiece, right? At $5 million a year, I think. A top. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are. I know Jalen makes
the number one pick is about a 6.2 a year.
Okay, so Jalen makes about 4.5 right now, which will be 5 in a year or two. But having those two guys for like around $10 million for the next 3 to 4 years, then you have Horford. You can sign Isaiah to a big contract and still have room to add another guy and still build around that. And then you're setting yourself up for the present and the future.
See, so, I was talking to my buddy about this, who's a huge NBA guy. And we were talking about whether you keep Isaiah Thomas. Obviously, I love Isaiah so much, but I don't want to sign him to a max deal for 4 years when he's on the wrong side of 30. He can't keep this up for 6 more years.
But it won't be a max deal. Does it have to be that? Can it be a 4-year deal? Like, we signed Horford for 4 years.
Yeah, no, we can, because we don't have bird rights, so we can offer him 4 max, I believe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's got at least 1 more year on his contract, right? Is his contract up 20?
Right, yes, the contract's up the end of next year.
So, 5 years. Next year, he'll be another great player.
And how old, Isaiah's what, 20?
28, 29?
28, 29.
Yo, I'm back. Are you back?
I'm back.
And our Deputy Commissioner, Mark Tatum, with the final order.
Thanks again, Mark. The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. The second pick will be made by the Los Angeles Lakers. And that means that
Did we just get the first pick? Holy shit.
Don't believe it.
Let's go, Mike. Yo.
I don't believe it. Look at Wick. He kissed the ring.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
All right. So, Markelle, you think Markelle, no doubt?
I think Markelle is such a talent that this locks them into keeping the pick.
Oh,
you know?
I'm so excited.
That is – I don't think they can trade that pick.
Yo, no, I mean, they could.
Don't get me wrong, they could. But, I mean, really, are you going to trade that pick for what? For Paul George for 1 year? Jimmy Butler? I don't think you do.
Okay, so this changes so much stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I would love to hold on to this pick. But now Ainge has all the leverage that some teams weren't confident about at the draft or the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now they're doing, like, the breakdown thing.
Yeah, they're talking to Wick right now on my screen.
All right, you're a little bit fine.
Again, I'm behind you.
Yeah, the first time ever. Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, so, but like I was saying, now if they keep that pick, if they take Fultz, they keep the pick, I mean, they can set themselves up. I think now with that opens up – probably more likely that some they package players instead of the draft picks. I don't think they're showing Lonzo Ball in Celtics jersey here, and I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
No, I think Ainge is happily. I think the only concept of Lonzo Ball in the Celtics was if we fell to 2, and it wasn't the Lakers at 1.
If we didn't get the first pick, I was really hoping that we would take Lonzo Ball with the second pick and then trade him somewhere he really doesn't want to go, like Indiana or Chicago or something. Like, just, you know, because you know he wants to go to L.A. And then he's going to end up in L.A. So how about
like Orlando or Phoenix or some like obscure place that's not really that cool?
Right. Like, it would be so – that would have been great. But how about this? Fultz, Ball, that's the Celtics rivalry for like the next 15 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. If these guys both end up becoming like the superstars that everyone thinks they will.
So Lakers got second. Yeah, so it's probably going to be Celtics,
yeah,
Markelle.
Fultz, Ball. I can't see Ainge trading that pick for
I agree. And I'm going to go back to that argument that I was making. Isaiah, I love him. I think he's phenomenal. But I don't think that what he's doing now is sustainable long term. So we get Markelle Fultz, who we have longer for cheaper, and trade Isaiah, sell high on Isaiah.
Right,
I know. I don't love it. But you know what? Hot takes, man. You gotta.
No. I'll take the hot take.
So Isaiah could be part of that package because you have, you know, you got to give time to people. We've got so much depth. You start Terry or Marcus at the one because we have that depth. We got the place to replace Isaiah and then kind of groom Markelle Fultz. He's not going to learn a ton from Isaiah. He will, but he's not. I think he's elite as a scorer. I don't know if he's like a teacher, like a Kobe Bryant style teacher. In part because he just plays his own game. It's such a unique game.
See, my thing is, I think that those guys could play against each other. Alongside each other. Fultz is long enough to play the two. He could essentially be your point guard, bring the ball up, and yet, because we know how well Isaiah plays off the ball. He's pretty great and off the ball. So you could have two guys that can bring the ball up. I mean, Fultz could be the primary ball handler, but yet when it's on defense, Isaiah can guard the one, Fultz can guard the two. I think that if they take Fultz, that likely spells the end for Avery Bradley and either Smart or probably more likely, I don't know, or Rozier. I mean, they can't keep them all. They can't have four point guards.
Well, that's why I say it, because none of them are commanding a max deal with the exception of Isaiah.
And right, but Smart's, he's going to get a pretty big contract next year, and so is Avery. So, I don't know. I don't think the way that Isaiah has played, he's done it he did it all season and now again in the postseason. I find it hard to believe that they'll part with him.
I just don't think that we can afford him, you know, and I'm not sure. I feel like Ainge loves what he's done, and he's revitalized this franchise in every capacity of the word. I mean, he's done wonders for this team. It's such an amazing fit. But again, I just don't think that he can keep this up for the length of a max deal. And I don't think that we can offer him anything less than a max deal because of just what he's done, the legacies that he's created for himself.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Under a rookie deal for that length of time, because I believe we have a team option for his fifth year. Or are they restricted for their fifth year, so you can offer them a...
It's a restricted, right. They get a qualifying offer. Right, like Jalen's is, I looked at this earlier, is 8.5 for his fifth year. So we get him for 4, and then there's an 8.5 qualifying offer for the fifth year.
Yeah, but then other teams can also bid on him, we can match it.
Right, so yeah, and then you would hope that he's good enough that that's not going to be... you know, you don't want him to be taking that qualifying offer because you want him to be much better than that.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jalen, yeah, so we have Jalen for 3 more years at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then Markelle for 4 guaranteed. Or whoever we draft, I guess.
Right.
Not obviously set in stone, but Markelle for 4. Isaiah, we sign him for, we have him for 5 if you include a max deal. If his contract does expire next year, we sign him to an extension this summer. And I mean, I'm going to look up his age, but he's going to be young 30s. And he hasn't been injury prone so much this season, but when does that start to become a thing? When he just gets banged around? I mean, he's like a pinball in the paint
he's trying to drive.
So,
I mean,
32,
33? He'd be 32, 33. I don't think that's the worst.
But for a guy who plays the style that Isaiah does.
No, and that's where your case comes into play, for sure. But I just think that let's say they can sign a Gordon Hayward in this offseason, right? This is my best case scenario. If you can sign a Hayward, you have Isaiah, Hayward, Horford. So now you have your 1A, 1B scorers. And then you've got your guy, your post presence that, you know, is kind of a dynamic guy down there. You've got Jalen and Fultz for the next 3 to 4 years apiece. Now their contracts will be, you know, reasonable until then. And then Horford will be coming off the books around that time, right? Yeah. You know, 3 more years on his deal after this. So then
Gershon and Zizic.
Yeah, and you have those guys, but we're going to have them for a couple of years at quality prices. I just feel like they're going to if they draft Fultz and they can find a way to sign somebody else, it's the best way to put the chips in now and compete at like the highest level and yet still not sacrifice like the next 10 years.
I mean, you're right, but I just think that Ainge, I feel like, is always a step ahead, or at least he has been, mm-hmm. of really every other GM. And I'm wondering when he's going to acknowledge that Isaiah is not the point guard of the future for this team by Fultz's second season.
So you think... Wait, say that again? So what do you mean?
I think that Isaiah is phenomenal in that we don't have like a leading point guard, but Markelle Fultz, if he is what everyone is hyping him up to be, and he's able to turn into what we dream that he will be, and obviously no first round pick, no number one pick is ever going to be perfect. I mean, you look at Anthony Bennett was the last one who ended up failing. You obviously have Greg Oden, and you know, if he can live up to the hype, if he can be, who was the last great point guard to be drafted first overall?
Kyrie.
Sure, Kyrie Irving. If he can play the level of Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving came first. I'm not sure.
I think it was earlier.
So I don't think
Isaiah starts behind or in front of Markelle Fultz if he's playing at that level.
No, but I think they can play alongside each other. I think that they can coexist and both start.
My concern is with the issues with defense, which Isaiah, he just doesn't have the size to defend. I mean, he's...
Right, I mean, that's always going to be an issue.
And that's always going to be an issue. And Brad Stevens wants to have a team that can defend. That's his...
Yeah, he wants guys to play both ends of the floor.
Exactly, sure. And Isaiah can't do that. And in my opinion, long-term, and I'm not talking next year, I'm talking 2, 3, 4 years down the road, long-term, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart would be a better investment for cheaper than Isaiah Thomas in a max deal that you lock him down until he's 33. For a guy who could be so injury prone because of the fact that he is a pinball in the paint and that he bounces off of guys and is on the ground almost every other time that he's driving. You know, I mean, he was banged up after this series. Like there's a post that somebody's working on for Celtics Life about just the nagging injuries that he's got going on. And he's able to sustain them now because he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
Even 2 years from now, Isaiah Thomas could be a guy who can't play through those injuries. I mean, we saw Avery Bradley going down for, you know, a month and a half at a time. Al Horford going down with a concussion for 8 games. If we lose Isaiah Thomas for extended periods of time, where would this team be?
Right, but I think that if you add some other pieces, I think that, you know, you'll be able to at least soften that blow anyways for those stretches. I mean, I agree. I think the biggest issue, the defense is obviously always going to be an issue, but I think the biggest issue in terms of signing to a long-term deal is thinking whether or not you think he can continue to take that kind of punishment that he takes and he still be at the level that he's at now in 3 years. But if I told you that he was going to stay healthy and in 3 or 4 years or whatever, what do we say? 4 more years after this one, he is going to be still playing at or very close to this level that he's playing right now, would you sign him?
Yes. If he's playing to the level that he is now. I just, again, don't know if it's sustainable.
No, and I get that. But at the same time, as much as I wanted Fultz, and I'm excited that we got him, and I'm still always... I like guys that can play, have already proved it, and can, you know, which is why I wanted to trade the pick unless we got Fultz, because I, you know, from what I've seen him play and from what the experts say is that, I mean, this kid is the real deal, and that's why I want to keep the pick. But otherwise, I'm always about trading for picks or prospects for guys that have already proven it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So other end of this, do you think that there's any chance that Ainge deals the number one pick?
Deals the Fultz pick?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's a possibility, sure. But I would say, like, not likely at all. I just based on the way all the, the so-called experts rave about him. I mean, he's going to be a scoring machine in the NBA, and he's got pretty good size, and he can do, he's a good point guard. He's a okay defender, he needs a little work there, but he's got the size that, he can make up for some of that. I think it's tough to pass on that.
I have had some skepticism, and I made this clear with Justin in previous podcasts, that I'm not optimistic about Fultz, only in the sense that with Washington, he wasn't able to win double-digit games in really not that tough of a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... That gave me a little bit of reluctance. Because, the Pac-12 is not your top-tier basketball conference. And I compared him to Kemba Walker in the sense that the Big East was a very good conference, and Kemba Walker lifted his teammates to not only win the Big East, but also win the title. And that was with probably an equally talented team.
Oh, what do you mean? Equally talented to the Washington team?
I would say.
No, the Kemba Walker's UConn team?
The freshman year Kemba Walker team?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that Washington team was very good.
He had Shabazz Napier, a freshman. Mm-hmm. And
you're talking Kemba Walker.
Yeah, Kemba Walker team. Freshman Shabazz Napier, who ended up winning a title his senior year. He had... Who else did he have on that team? There wasn't like anybody. I think he had Shabazz Muhammad also. Or am I mistaken on that?
I'm not sure. If Justin was here, he would tell you. But
true, yeah. Are you coming back?
But with the Washington team, who did Fultz have with him? None of those other guys are NBA guys.
Jeremy Lamb was with Kemba Walker. I'm looking up that lineup now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Otherwise, there's literally no one else on that roster who's recognizable as far as players, in my opinion. I think Kemba Walker is a fair comparison.
Maybe. Perhaps. I don't think that Washington team was good at all. But I don't know. I'm not as big of a college guy as I am NBA, so I don't want to, go too far on a limb there. But the, I don't really put as much stock into the amount of games they win. I think some of these guys, you got to look at just the raw talent.
Yeah, and that's where I'm playing slight devil's advocate, because this will be, I think, the third year ever that a player was drafted from, like, the U.S. who had played in college, who didn't make the NCAAs. Last year being the second, and it was Ben Simmons from LSU.
And the book is still out on him, obviously.
Yeah, and so there's no way of indicating that. And, it hasn't been proven that these guys are, that it indicates anything, but that's a slight concern for me that he can't make his teammates better.
Yeah, sure. I would prefer guys, obviously, to have had, championship caliber experience in college, whether or not they won the NCAA title. But if they're competing at the highest level in the tournament, obviously, that's a plus for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to hit on as far as the draft goes?
No, I'm stoked. We wanted the first pick. The only thing that went wrong was somehow the Lakers ended up with Ball with that second pick. But you know what? It might make for a great rivalry over the next decade and a half. So
I would love
maybe for the best
if Magic Johnson passed on Lonzo Ball. That would make me so happy.
That would be the ultimate. That would have been better than us trading him to get buried in Minnesota or something like that. that would have been. That would be the greatest, and have a live cam on LeVar Ball and just watch him.
Oh, 100%.
That would be remarkable. But unfortunately, we know that's not going to happen.
Well, they've got D'Angelo Williams, or what, D'Angelo Russell. They've got a slightly decent point guard. Russell's a solid player, and he's been proven. He's been doing pretty well. I mean, not saying they shouldn't pick Lonzo Ball, but I would just be really happy if they decided not to.
Well, maybe. And how about this? If Ainge does trade the pick, which I think is unlikely, but if he does, maybe the team that he trades it to selects Lonzo Ball.
True.
And then, not that that's a bad thing for the Lakers necessarily, but it would be a downer for the Ball family.
Oh, how about trading down? Like with the Suns, trade 1 for 4.
Justin was talking about this, I think. Trading back, taking like Tatum or Jackson or anybody, and getting another pick out of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't think that's the, worst idea, but at the same time, I would prefer Bulls.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, unless you get something really cool out of the trade. So like, I don't know who the Suns would be, because I know the Suns are really into Lonzo Ball, and the Suns really want Lonzo.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker for straight up 1 for 3 or 1 for 4.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. Still draft like Josh Jackson or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not gonna happen.
We'll talk about it. And Justin, I'm sure, will have tons of these like posts over the next couple of weeks. Because we're like, what, a month and a half from draft night?
Yeah, it's
usually
July,
like end
right?
of June. Yeah.
Oh, it's in June?
Usually it's the end of June.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's usually a week after the finals ends, right?
Yeah, and also this playoffs has been really strangely late for like everything going on. Yeah, it's right. June 22nd.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Cool. So yeah, we'll look forward to it. A little bit less than a month, or a little bit more than a month. But yeah, quick preview of the Cavs series. Cavs have been off 9 days. Longest break in LeBron's life.
That's nuts.
With the exception of like summer offseason.
Right.
But no, it's 9 days off. Do you think that affects the Cavs coming into the series?
I think the best thing that could happen is we jump out to a hot start and actually win game one, because they're, that off. I mean, it certainly opens up the possibility of that. I mean, everybody acts like, sure, this Cleveland team has played great in the playoffs, but let's not forget that the first month and a half before that, they lost like 14 of their last 24 games. And
yep. You
say what you want about flipping the switch and whatnot, but there were times when they were struggling this year and they had their guys. That was, part of that was Love was out. But even after he came back, they didn't look quite right. I mean, don't get me wrong. They look like they're firing on all cylinders right now, but week and a half off, I mean, that's, it's a long time.
I tweeted ahead of the playoffs starting, the Celtics and the Raptors were the only team to have a winning record on the road of playoff teams in the East. We have home court for this series.
Mm-hmm.
We took the one seed. The Cavs, that closing stretch, they performed abysmally on the road. The one exception was in Boston for that fight for the one seed. So, and that was a game where LeBron like really turned it on, but everyone else wasn't playing that well.
Mm-hmm.
But, home court, games 1 and 2 in Boston, and then if it does go past game 4, we've got home court for 5 and 7. How much does that affect Cleveland? And that they don't have a ton of rookies. They don't have a ton of like shaken players or guys who might get a little bit shaken, but do you think that affects them that they don't have home court? Do you think it matters?
Oh, I think it matters to the fact that these other two series, they came out and they were the better team in both series. But when you come out on a team that you are much better than, and then you jump out to a 2-0 lead, I mean, with ease pretty much, then you're just, the next game is like must win for the other team, because if they lose that game, they're toast.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw them right against the wall right away. I think with the opportunity that the Celtics have, they could win a game. They could, they could miraculously somehow win both games. But it's more the fact that instead of like Cleveland coming out and just, being able to put the pedal down at home and come out, firing on all cylinders, maybe it's a lot tougher for them to take the first two games.
Celtics fans, to me, and I agree, believe that this is enough for the season. I mean, I think everyone obviously would take a finals trip, but I think we've all reached, like, we're totally happy with what we've accomplished.
Right.
And I don't think anybody would complain even if we got swept.
I would agree with that.
So, I said it at the beginning of the show, this is the first time since early 80s that a team got the best record in their conference and also got the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a great place right now. An insanely good place. Because we're one of the last four teams standing. And we're the least talented of all those four teams, and we're about to get significantly better this summer. Yeah. I would assume.
In maybe more way than one.
Exactly.
Maybe through the draft and free agency. So
exactly.
That's pretty wild.
Predictions? Series-wise?
It's hard. I think the Celtics, they're going to win a game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win one of the first two games. I think they give them a little bit of a run. I would say my thinking is probably Cavs in six. I think we can steal two games off them. I hope I'm wrong and we go seven or win the series, but I would say I would be thrilled if we won two games.
I would too. I'm sad because I said the Raptors would swipe a game. I said the Pacers would swipe a game.
And they have not.
And,
right?
I've just been proven wrong both series. So up to this point, obviously the Cavs are still undefeated. So I would love if the Celtics could take a game or two.
I'd love it if it was the first game.
I would too.
Just to put them on their heels.
Exactly, knock them on their heels. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Well, if it does happen, it'll be here. Anything you're working on for Celtics life?
No, but now that we have the number one pick, the possibilities are endless.
So. Yeah, there's going to be tons of stuff up on that. Yeah. And like we said, Justin's going to be all over the place with draft. What we can do with the pick, all those things. His crazy series of posts that he has. Check out everything on the site. Also, check out our Paul Pierce pod that we put up. Justin and I recorded last week, kind of a tribute to the truth.
You guys did a great job on that, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. And obviously, check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store. You can even get tickets to the next game under that heading, Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be wild. You should go. And you can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so that you never miss any episodes. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars so that other people can see it. And it just helps us out if we get more visibility. And if you don't like something or you have a suggestion, make sure to let us know with a comment on any of our Celtics Life articles or tweet us with the hashtag CLPod or Celtics Life Pod or Celtics Life Podcast. We're trying to minimize it, make it look a little bit better. And we're always just trying to bring you guys the Celtics coverage that you want just the way you like it. And we are pumped. Number one pick. What's your hot take? I already gave mine.
Bolt.
That's your hot take? That's the least hot take that I've
ever. What do you mean a hot take?
All right, fine.
I think we're keeping the pick. We're drafting Fultz. I'm not going out on much of a limb saying that, but that's what I think.
All right, fine. You're no fun. Whatever. Yeah. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Later, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.